Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. You can follow along starting on page 4 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles. Before we read God's word, let us go to God in prayer. God, open your scriptures to us this morning, that we would hear your word, be it a word of comfort or a word of challenge. You know what we need, God. This is your living word. We come to it full of hope and expectation, trusting in you who are our rock, our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen to the word of God. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, and in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus healed. According to the Gospel of Matthew, before Jesus ever preached a word, he healed lots and lots of people. He traveled throughout Galilee, curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Word spread throughout Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, all those afflicted with diseases and pains of any kind, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, Matthew tells us in chapter 4. And Jesus cured them. And the news of this traveled. And so great crowds followed him from Galilee, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. And then he began to preach what would become known as the Sermon on the Mount. He gave words to what his disciples already knew, what they had already come to experience and live and see in all of that healing that had already taken place. He articulated what they already felt in Jesus' midst. And this is what he said, and I'm going to paraphrase it using my own words and using the words of Eugene Peterson. This is what Jesus preached. Blessed. Blessed are you, brothers and sisters. You are content. You are happy. You are worthy of being looked up to, enviable. When you're at the end of your rope, when you've fallen off the tree and your head spins with dizzy, when you're down and out and have nothing left to give, when you have no resources, spiritual or otherwise, to draw from. Is that you? Have you been there? You are blessed. When you have lost what is most dear to you, when you mourn, and your heart aches and your mind swirls about, lost in miserable thoughts and negative tapes that won't quit playing, even then, you are blessed. Maybe that's you. You are blessed. And you are blessed when you are content with just who you are, no more, no less. When you back down from status and ego and power, when you step to the side and choose not to compete with the bold of the world, you are blessed. And you are blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God, when you hunger and thirst for what is right and just. You are blessed when you ache for, not just pray for, but sacrifice for what is right. When you ache for right relationships with God and with one another and even with yourself. You are blessed when you care, when you show mercy, when you are full of concern for the other. You are blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart and your soul, when you get it put right. When your values match God's values and what dwells at your core is the creative breath of God, the very creative breath of God with which you were created. Pure in heart, you are blessed. You are blessed when you make peace, when you show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. You are blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution from others. And not only that, friends, count yourself blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me, Jesus preaches. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort, and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad, give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, God does, and all of heaven applauds. You are blessed, even now, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here, even now, and it belongs to the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is here, even now, and in the kingdom of heaven, those who mourn will be comforted. And those who have lost will be embraced. And in the kingdom of heaven, the humble will inherit all that cannot be bought. You are blessed, even now, because it will be in the kingdom of heaven like this, that the hungry will be filled and all who thirst will have that thirst quenched. It will be in the kingdom of heaven that our deep desires for what is good and right and just will be fulfilled, and all those who care will find themselves cared for. And the pure in heart will see God, and the peacemakers will discover their place in God's family. Those persecuted for the sake of justice, they are blessed even now, and theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, happy, content, enviable, worthy of being looked up to. These will be the words with which Christ labels you. These are the words with which Christ labels you. Even if the world points to and promises and pushes a very different message. This is an already and not yet truth. You are blessed already in the present because it will be fulfilled not yet in the future, God's kingdom of heaven. But that future begins now, Jesus says. And in fact, the first words of Jesus' ministry before this sermon and before the healing in the Gospel of Matthew, they are this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven is here even now, and the kingdom of heaven is not yet still to be fulfilled. We are in year A of the lectionary, which doesn't have to mean anything to you except that you're going to be hearing from the Gospel of Matthew a lot between now and Advent. All year long, not every Sunday, but many, we'll hear from the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus will tell us again and again about this already and not yet kingdom of heaven and our place in it. And the Beatitudes will be our backdrop for this journey. When Matthew's message seems strange or the text gets confusing, we can shine the light of this passage of the Beatitudes on it. And we can remember that the core of Christ's message is here about the kingdom of heaven and who is blessed in it. Everything that unfolds in Matthew will unfold from this Sermon on the Mount, not this one, Jesus's, right until we find ourselves back with Jesus and his disciples on the mountaintop after the resurrection when he gives them the great commission to go out and baptize and teach. But before any of it, before the disciples can be disciples, before they can carry the message forward, before they themselves can preach and teach and heal, Jesus wants them to know one simple thing. Sure and true, you are blessed. And with this truth comes a question. You are blessed. What are you going to do about it? It's not a guilt-driven question, but rather a joy-filled invitation. Jesus stands on the mountain with a message of hope. He is sure-footed by a reputation for healing, and he declares a present reality even as he points to its future fulfillment. We are blessed already because the kingdom of heaven will be. And so what will you do about it? Do you know that line, with great power comes great responsibility? I thought someone really important said it. Do you know who said it? Spider-Man's Uncle Ben. With great blessing comes great responsibility. What will you do with it? I heard an answer to that very question yesterday. It was from one of our church leaders at our church leadership retreats. He said that when he reflects on his faith and his life, he knows how much has been given to him. The people, the opportunities, the love, the blessings. And from that knowledge, he is compelled to give back. Not compelled by guilt or by shame or by hope of proving himself worthy, but by the simple recognition that there is so much to be thankful for, so much to share, so much to give back. And I suspect the same rings true for most of us here. Our lives have been poured into by the loving sacrifice of others, the outstretched arm of another, the leader who sees something in ourselves that we cannot yet see. We have been gifted, both by others and most assuredly by the God who created us and gave us this life, and now we are compelled to give to others. It's the core of our faith tradition as Reformed Protestant Presbyterians. You are saved, you are loved, you are accepted. Full stop. And also, ... you are responsible. The magnitude of the gift is so great. How can we help but share it? What are you going to do with this gift that you have been freely given? How are you going to show gratitude to the God, Creator, Christ, and Spirit who gave it to you? That gift of salvation, of blessedness, of acceptance. The options are plentiful. There are examples before us just in worship today. We might respond to the blessing of God in our lives by accepting a position on the board of CPNS. We might respond by undertaking projects worthy of the Eagle Scout Award in hopes of bringing the kingdom of heaven a little bit closer. We might give generously to the needs of others or come joyfully and humbly to the table of God. Or we might risk leaving this place to go out into the world to love and serve the Lord our God. The options are plentiful. You are blessed. And so too, you are responsible for the poor, for the mourning, for the meek. You are responsible for righteousness and mercy and that which is pure in heart. You are responsible for peace and justice, no matter the cost. In the midst of all hardship, from our place of heartbrokenness, from that place on the ground of being down and out, in the middle of the nightmare, or at the other end of the world's scornful stare. You are blessed. You are in the company of a God whose kingdom turns upside down every distorted priority of this world. You are in the company of a God who marks the unlovable as loved and the fragile as strong. You are in the company of a God who gathers up every misfit along with all of the broken into one loving, divine embrace. You are blessed. Thanks be to God. Amen.